All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. And in your notebook, if you're taking notes, page 18. Philippians chapter 4, message entitled, Never Thunk About It. Never Thunk About It. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you think about? What thoughts consume much of your day? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? This verse here, Philippians 4:8, has been one of the memory verses for 4 out of the 5 teen camps. And that wasn't by accident. It was by design. Because if you know this verse and do this verse, you'll be fine. You deserve points for it if you know it, and God will bless you if you live it. But we live in a day where thinking, not just thinking on these things, where thinking isn't required. We don't live in a day where we need to think, and I'll explain that thought in a minute, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time in your word now. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and that you'd challenge us, Father. Lord, pray for those that have decisions to make today, that, Lord, you'd be glorified. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We live in a day where thinking is not required. Oh yeah, we go to school and we think about 2x plus y is equal to 17. Or we think about what subject matter we're going to paint. Or we think about, or we try desperately to recall during a quiz or an exam. We think about perhaps where Mozart was when he wrote this particular piece. Or we think about what happens when we mix sodium with chloride. Or should we do that, Dr. Thomas? These things are things that we think about for school. Yes, we think, but we either come up with an answer or we don't. It's that kind of thinking. We're not thinking in depth. We're just coming up with an answer or trying to recall something. And that's fine, but it doesn't ask us to think deeply. And then we live in a society where everything that the society and the culture we live in is given to us, how we need to think about and what we need to think about. There'll be a news report about this, and the angle that is in that news report is what it wants you to think about that issue or that topic. Before Christmas, suddenly the news was full of trauma in South Sudan. Because suddenly our Western News Service wanted to convey that information. But obviously this week you haven't heard anything about it. But since Christmas, nothing. Did it stop? No. See what I mean? They just give us the information when they want us to think about it. Or we go to a website that we've Googled up how to make this or do that or whatever. And the information is there so we don't have to think. We don't have to come up with a solution. Don't have to think in depth about that news story or this report because, well, all the information's there. And even how I should think about it is given to me. So I don't have to think in depth. And just like our prisoner there, he only eats when we choose to bring him food. We only think when our society decides, okay, now we need to have a discussion about this. Or now we need to talk about that. Or now we need to think about this thing happening on the other side of the world. And this is how you should think about those things. So as a result, we're shallow. Shallow in our thinking. We don't know how to think deeply about anything because we don't regularly do it. We don't think deeply about anything. Sport, this and that happens, and we get excited, and then it's finished. In a movie, something happens, and then those people react to that, and then they react the other way, and then the problem's solved, and the credits roll. Sitting in front of a screen, gaming, and something happens. Ooh, A, B. Oh, whew. Lucky I thought quickly how to... You didn't think. That was a reflex. Something happened on a screen and you went... And problem solved. And all you did was react faster than some pre-programmed inbuilt sensor in a game. You reacted faster than it, and so you survived. Wow. That's pretty cool. And even in the preaching, we sit there and listen to it like we'd listen to news. As if it were the news, and we're not thinking, wow, if that's true, if God thinks that, then I need to change this, and that also affects that. And we're not thinking deeply because we don't think deeply. We listen to the news, and I should think about that topic this way. Okay. I listen to the preaching. Okay. The preacher's talking about this and that. All right. I'll think about this and that. But it can go so much further. Applying it into our lives. Growing spiritually requires that kind of thinking. The kind of thinking that, right, so I should do this and apply that to there as well. Growing spiritually requires you to think, not shallowly, deeply. You want to grow spiritually, you have to think about God's word. God tells us all that he expects of us and all that is true in his word. But if you just read it like a newspaper, you'll get nothing from it. You'll get information, you'll get knowledge, but you won't get change. You won't just grow spiritually that way. Growing spiritually requires you to think, and it requires you to think right. As our verse here says, it requires us to think on the good stuff. Not just remember, think. Not just recall, think. The devil, your flesh, and the world wants to clog your thoughts up with filth, with distractions, with wrong topics for thought. And God says, no, no, think on true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, virtuous things, praiseworthy things. Think on those things. And there's very, very, very little in this world that passes that test. People, events, entertainment, there is almost nothing in this world that passes that list. What are you thinking about? What do you think about? What consumes your thoughts? Do the test. Is it true? Well, is it true? Well, it's not untrue. Is it honest? Well, they don't lie. Is it just? Yeah. It's not unjust. Is it pure? Is it lovely? Sometimes. Is it of good report? Maybe not. Is it virtuous? No. Is it praiseworthy? People praise it. But should you? No. You see, what are you thinking on? I left one out, didn't I? What was that? Virtuous? Praiseworthy? Good report. You see, there's very little in this world that would pass that test. If you think about it from that angle. A person, an event, some kind of entertainment, almost nothing will pass all of those tests. I heard an interview with a previous Prime Minister, long before most of your time, I suppose. And he was commenting on the current batch of rascals that have gone through that office. I mean, individuals. And saying that this constant news cycle is what's leading to, and them responding to that, biting on the bait, is what's leading to such shallow and messed up policies once they try and enact them. Because it's one thing to say, this is what we stand for. But then you've got to work out how that's going to be enacted. And he was saying that when he was in office, he would schedule into every day a time where he would have no meetings, no interruptions, and he'd put on classical music and he'd just sit and think. And his side of politics is not the side of politics that I think would uphold God's word. But at least he was thinking. And he did a pretty good job when he was in office. And because he was thinking, he'd work out the problems before they were problems. Now, if he has time to do that, or had time, probably still has time, because it's a habit, then you and I have time to think. Not just about anything, but true, honest, just, pure. Things of good report. Lovely. Things of good report. Virtuous and praiseworthy things. We have time to think on those things. And God's word fits that every time. God's word will fit, will pass that test every time. Not just read it like it's a newspaper, but read it and think. 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 Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Move this out of the way so you're not thinking about your memory verses. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The godly are not so. Sorry, the ungodly are not so. Now, we tend to read that, particularly verses 1 and 2, and think that just because I don't go with the ungodly, with the sinners, with the scorners, just because I don't do that, I will be, verse 2. It doesn't say that. It doesn't mean that just because I don't do that, I will automatically delight in the law of the Lord. It might be that you long for the opportunity to walk with the ungodly, the sinners, and so forth. It might be that you have no opportunity to, you cannot, but you hope to one day. Just because you don't currently walk with, sit with, stand with, doesn't mean you are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Doesn't automatically mean that you delight in the law of the Lord, and certainly doesn't mean that you do it day and night. And many of you know the names and where to find the individuals that are ungodly, that are sinners, and are scorners. And the casual reading of verses 1 and 2 will convince ourselves that if I don't do verse 1, I am doing verse 2. And that's wrong. You're not blessed because you don't. You need to be like a tree. You need to be the tree planted by the rivers of water. Drinking, drinking, drinking from that river. Rather than a tree planted in the middle of a desert, struggling. If you are a tree in a desert, spiritually speaking, the problem isn't God's word. Famous preacher said, no doubt the problem is with you. The problem isn't pollution in the river. The problem is you. It's you and what you're doing at the river. Are you just standing near the river, God's word, or are you drinking, drinking, drinking regularly and thoroughly, thinking about what you're drinking? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now what does verse 2 talk about? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Oh. In his law doth he meditate day and night. If you can pour all over the sports results or some other worldly thing and get nothing from the Bible, you are a sorry Christian. The problem isn't what you're reading. Think about that tree for a moment. It's planted. It's planted by the rivers of water. It's not self-sown. These trees out here drop seed at the time according that God designed, that God created for that species to drop its seed. But this is a tree that's planted. That is purposeful. Somebody put it there. There is purpose in planting a tree. It's by a river. That river speaks of productivity. Sustenance. It's a sustaining thing. This tree bringeth forth its fruit in its season. It's the fruit seasonal. The fruit is there when it ought to be. It's not grown in some hothouse to eat mangoes in July. This fruit is there when it's supposed to be. God's timing, God's blessing is on it. The prospering there. A failure to prosper can be a number of things. But this certainly is in reference to a spiritual prospering. Even though circumstances and physically we may not be prospering, we can still be prospering spiritually. So it doesn't mean that you'll be a millionaire and have health that everybody else desires. But spiritually, you'll be blessed. And the leaf withering, well, I struggled with that. And I thought, you idiot. You're preparing a message on thinking. So think about it. Oh, yeah. Good idea, Lord. Well, if the tree is you, the river's God's word, what about you is growing off you like a leaf? I came up with talents, your abilities, your gifts, your character, the things that are you but not, they can come and go. What does it say about the leaves? They won't wither. When you're growing spiritually, when you're prospering spiritually, those talents and gifts, those abilities, your character will further enhance your ministering and the blessing you are to others. And it will be robbed of others, from others, and from what you're trying to do when you're not growing spiritually, when you're not prospering spiritually. How do I get this? How do I get this spiritual growth that is so amazingly spoken of here? Verse 2. In his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to think. We need to be thinking about God's word. Not reading it like some news service, but thinking about what we're reading, applying it to our heart and our lives and the places we don't want to change, that God needs us to change. We need to be applying it specifically into our life. Learn to think. Think about the person of God as you're reading your Bible. Think about the Word of God as you're reading the Bible. Think about the truth that is contained within these pages. Think about the works of God that you're reading about. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. When you're studying your Bible, when you're studying a topic, especially, there's a rule of study. There's a rule of interpretation called the first mention principle. That when a word appears for the first time in the Scriptures, usually, almost 99% of the time. So what would that be? 98%. 99% of the time, the way that God would have that overall thought to be understood across the pages of Scripture is contained in the very first mention. And here we have the very first mention of meditate or meditation. Genesis chapter 24. This is not some sort of mystic kind of meditation. This is thinking. It's just another word for deep thinking. Genesis 24, verse 63. And Isaac, still unmarried and waiting to be married, went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And on those camels was his future wife. But that is not the thought we have here. It's the first half of the verse that's important, at least for now. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. It's not very profound. It's just a flash mention of the verse. There's no immense doctrine contained in that phrase or sentence. But it's the first time it's mentioned and some guy goes out into some field to sit and think. He didn't just happen to be in the field and sat down on a comfortable looking bench. He chose to go out and think. He chose to have a point in his day where he was going to think about God and God's dealings in his life. We don't know that this was his habit every day, but that is not the point. The point is, here's the first mention of meditate or meditation. And the person doing it has chosen to come aside and think. Stop what he was doing, where he was doing it, and go and think. It's not complicated. It's not profound. But to think, to dwell on, to apply to your life, to ask the hard questions that apply to you. Why am I not a tree planted by the rivers of water? Why am I not like that tree? That's a tough question. That's the kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves. Not mean questions, just questions that need some thought. What am I doing in my life that is stopping me becoming more like Christ? What is stopping me from getting away from that sin in my life and that temptation in my life? What's hindering my spiritual growth? Why do I always have that rotten attitude? Why do I, whatever pertains to you. Meditation is not kicking ourselves around the paddock saying you're such a sinner. It's thinking about God, thinking about me, and thinking about what needs to change. It's not bashing ourselves up. I'm so bad. That's just having a pity party. It's thinking about the truth of God's word. Because that other kind of thinking doesn't fit through Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This is God speaking to Joshua. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And may I remind you that prospering and success doesn't necessarily mean physically, but will mean spiritually. What did God say to do? Meditate therein day and night. Meditate. Meditate to the point that you will obey God's word, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not just meditate, okay, I've thought about that now. Meditate to the point that you will do, that you follow through, that you understand what it is God wants you to do with that thing, about that area of your life, about that issue, about this topic that God has led you to think about. Now that first phrase, this law of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? In the New Testament, it tells us, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Why is it here telling me that this law shouldn't come out of my mouth? Am I in sin as a preacher right now before you as I preach God's word? No. We're meditating. We're thinking deeply to the point that what we were thinking about has gone in and changed every aspect of our heart and our mind, and that has changed our actions and our life has changed. We become a different person. We're not all talk. We're doers of the word. As one of our memory verses speaks about. We're doers of the work. The idea here is that we dwell on it, that we keep it trapped inside until there's change. Psalm 63 tells us that meditating on God is a comfort. Much of what we do think about isn't comforting. Psalm 104 tells us that meditating is a gladness. Much of what we think about is not comforting, is not going to benefit us in any way. It's either neutral or it's worse. Let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That means that we can think on stuff that is unacceptable. Not unacceptable to me, it's unacceptable to God. Let the words of my mouth, and not just the words, the meditation of my very heart be acceptable, not unacceptable, O Lord. Is what you think about true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? This stuff that we think about that consumes much of our thought life. Does it pass through these categories? It does not, usually. And when it does, do we think deeply enough about it that lasting change is the result? I think it's not. Not God's word that's at fault when lasting change does not take place. I just want to finish with two of the memory verses. So for time, let's just, if you've got your book there, just turn to the back there. The last two. When we're thinking deeply about God's word, we will be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. When we are only hearers of the word, we are deceived. Because we read our Bible this morning. I was in church today. I didn't fall back into that sin of yesterday today. See how I go tomorrow. No, be doers of the word. It's commendable, but is that glorifying to God? Something that we do might be commendable in the sight of man before one another, but is it what we ought to be doing? Be doers of the word. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. There's the idea of meditation again. Not just looking at our Bible, and now we've done that, it's and continueth therein, that's deeper thinking. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The very deed of meditating on the scripture will be blessed. At the very least, spiritually, and possibly physically as well. And 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. God's image. From glory to glory. As we see the glory of God in the mirror of God's word, we are changed into from glory into glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you're meditating on a topic, a subject, an issue, passing something through the sieves of Philippians 4:8, the Spirit of God can take that thought process and take it further in where you wouldn't have thought to apply it perhaps. Or remind you of another verse and you can go there and learn more about what it was. But when we're just reading our newspaper, that doesn't happen. This is where I'm up to today. All right, that's done. and we go about our day. That's a forgetful hearer. That's not a doer of the work. We didn't think about it. We didn't stop and think, what does God's word need me to do today? And we could pore all over things of this world, think about them, analyze them, get all excited about them, and then when we come to the pages of God's word, it's like water off a duck's back. There's no change. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attention. I want to give you an opportunity now to think about how that applies to your life. It might be in the area of your quiet time, the attitude you come to reading God's word each day, or your failure to come to reading God's word each day. It might be in the area of the things of this world, the extent to which you stop and think and analyze those. And sometimes even when we're in the middle of preaching and in scriptures. Something that should be a holy time, a sacred time, where we're hearing from God, is interrupted by the things of this world because of the extent to which we put those things into our mind in the rest of our day. It needs to be dealt with, beloved. It might simply be that you need to start thinking Philippians 4:8. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy things need to be thought about. God might be dealing with you about being a tree planted with purpose and drinking up the word of God. Or God might have spoken to you this morning about a specific area of your life or a specific area of God's word that he's been trying to get your attention on and you haven't thunk about it yet. Whatever it is, I ask you to be diligent to deal with that. Have some prayer or write it down in your book, that you be not a forgetful hearer. Is there anyone here that say, pray for me this morning? There's some things in my life that God's speaking to me about. Perhaps my attitude to God's word. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray for me that I would be one that meditates on God's word. Thank you. Anybody else? I think about all sorts of things, but I don't think about God's word anywhere near like that. Pray for me. Thank you. Anybody else? Let's have some prayer. If you need to write down in your book, do so now. And then we'll close our time in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for these verses that we've looked at this morning that contain illustrations of the attitude and the way that we should approach your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to overcome our thoughtlessness, our inability to stop and work hard at something that you would have us to think about. Lord, we're so used to just being told what to think, that when we come to your word, so often we just say, it's too hard. Lord, may these young people be students of your word. May they make the time to think about what you would have them to think about. Lord, we thank you that there is something in this world that is true, that is honest, that's just and pure. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We're thankful for the privilege of owning a copy of it and being able to read it and meditate upon it. Pray that, Lord, as we do so, that you would change our lives and that we would allow you to make those changes. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.